Please stand as you're able to do so. To you, O Lord, I lift up my soul.
O God, in you we trust. Do not let us be put to shame. Do not let my enemies exalt over me.
Do not let us be put to shame. Let those who are against us be put to shame. Lead us in your way. Yeah, you guys go. I messed up. Go.
Lead us in your ways, O Lord. Teach us your paths.
Lead us in your truth and teach us, for you are the God of our salvation. For you we wait all day long.
Remember your mercy, O Lord, and of your steadfast love.
Do not remember the sins of our youth. Forgive our transgressions. According to your steadfast love, remember us, O Lord.
You are good and upright, and you teach us your paths.
Humble us, O Lord, and teach us your humble ways. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And now let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. Most merciful God, we confess that we are captive to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen. God, who is rich in mercy, loved us even when we were dead in sin, and made us alive together in Christ. By grace, you have been saved. In the name of Jesus Christ, your sins are forgiven. Almighty God, strengthen you with power through the Holy Spirit, that Christ may live in your hearts through faith. Amen. And at this time, you are released for jam. Not you. You have to stay.
grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
In peace, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. For this holy house and all who offer here their worship and praises, let us pray to the Lord. Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. Glory to God in the highest, and peace to God's people on earth. Giver of life, you know our frailties and our failings. Give us your grace to overcome them. Keep us from those things that harm us, and guide us in the way of salvation through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord.
Amen.
You may be seated.
The first reading is from Ezekiel, the 18th chapter. The word of the Lord came to me. What do you mean by repeating this proverb concerning the land of Israel? The parents have eaten sour grapes, and the children's teeth are set on edge. As I live, says the Lord God, this proverb shall no more be used by you in Israel. Know that all lives are mine. The life of the parent, as well as the life of the child, is mine. It is only the person who sins that shall die. Yet you say, the word of the Lord is unfair. Hear now, O house of Israel, is my way unfair? Is it not your ways that are unfair? When the righteous turn away from their righteousness and commit iniquity, they shall die for it. For the iniquity that they have committed, they shall die. Again, when the wicked turn away from the wickedness they have committed and do what is lawful and right, they shall save their life. Because they considered and turned away from all the transgressions that they had committed, they shall surely live. They shall not die. Yet the house of Israel says, the way of the Lord is unfair. O house of Israel, Are my ways unfair? Is it not your ways that are unfair? Therefore, I will judge you, O house of Israel, all of you according to your ways, says the Lord God. Repent and turn from all your transgressions, otherwise iniquity will be your ruin. Cast away from you all the transgressions that you have committed against me, and get yourselves a new heart and a new spirit. Why will you die, O house of Israel? For I have no pleasure in the death of anyone, says the Lord God. Turn then and live. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The second reading is from Philippians, the second chapter. If then there is any encouragement in Christ, any consolation from love, any sharing in the Spirit, any compassion and sympathy, make my joy complete. Be of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility regard others as better than yourselves. Let each of you look not to your own interests, but to the interests of others. Let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited, but emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, being born in human likeness. And being found in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God also highly exalted him and gave him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bend in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Therefore, my beloved, just as you have always obeyed me, not only in my presence, but much more now in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who is at work in you, enabling you both to will and to work for his good pleasure. The word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 21st chapter. When he entered the temple, the chief priests and the elders of the people came to him as he was teaching and said, "By what authority are you doing these things, and who gave you this authority?" Jesus said to them, "I will also ask you one question. If you tell me the answer, then I will also tell you by what authority I do these things. Did the baptism of John come from heaven? Or was it of human origin?" And they argued with one another. "If we say from heaven, he will say to us, 'Why then did you not believe him?' But if I say of human origin, we are afraid of the crowd, for all regard John as a prophet." So they answered Jesus, "We do not know." And he said to them, "Neither will I tell you by what authority I am doing these things." "What do you think? A man had two sons. He went to the first and said, 'Son, go and work in the vineyard today.' He answered, 'I will not.' But later he changed his mind and he went. The father went to the second and said the same, and he answered, 'I go, sir.' But he did not go. Which of the two did the will of the Father, of his Father. They said, the first. Jesus said to them, truly I tell you, the tax collectors and the prostitutes are going into the kingdom of God ahead of you. For John came to you in the way of righteousness, and you did not believe him, but the tax collectors and the prostitutes believed him. And even after you saw it, you did not change your minds and believe him. This is the gospel of our Lord. You may be seated. It's a great gospel to work with today, but I'm going to spend most of the time on Philippians. But I'm going to start with the gospel. When Jesus entered the temple, the chief priests and the elders of the people came to him as he was teaching and said, by what authority are you doing these things, and who gave you this authority? When we hear a reading start with doing these things, what should we ask? What are these things? So, first, the gospel itself that we read today tells us, we know that Jesus was teaching, right? And usually when Jesus teaches, the chief priests and the elders, do they like what he has to say? No, why not? So he challenges their worldly authority, the way things are and the way things have been. He challenges them. He challenges their power. But there's more to what caused this question today. And to find out what these things are, we have to go back a little bit. We have to go back a little bit into the Gospel of Matthew. So Jesus has been marching to Jerusalem, knowing that his journey will end where? The cross, right? And here he is today. Here he is today in Jerusalem. Finally, last week, your gospel reading, he wasn't in Jerusalem yet. This week, he is in Jerusalem. So how did he get into Jerusalem? Did he slip into the back door? Thank you. Did Jesus slip into the back door of Jerusalem? No. How did Jesus get into Jerusalem? A donkey? Yes. Was there fanfare? Was there a parade? Man, you guys are awfully quiet this morning. Are we going to have to stand up and do jumping jacks? They shouted, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest heaven. There were people in front of him. There were people behind him doing these things, saying these things. They spread their cloaks and palm branches in front of him on the road. The Messiah had arrived in Jerusalem, and we hear this. When Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was in turmoil. So knowing this, Jesus, he got to Jerusalem and he laid low for a while, right? No, he didn't let things calm down. Then Jesus entered the temple and drove out all who were selling and buying. And one of my favorite things that Jesus ever did, he came in and he flipped over the tables. He overturned the tables of the money changers and the seats of those who sold doves. And then he cured the blind and the lame right then and there. He didn't charge them anything. He just cured them for free. The audacity of this man, Jesus. So now we can properly re-ask this question to Jesus. The question that the these scribes and the Pharisees and the teachers and the leaders of the temple asked him, "By whose authority do you ride into Jerusalem on a donkey and allow yourself to be hailed as king? By whose authority do you come into our temple and flip over our tables and disrupt our money-making operation? By whose authority do you teach in our temple? By whose authority do you cure the blind and the lame?" And Jesus' response is brilliant. He says, "By whose authority do you try to condemn me?" Now, he doesn't exactly say that, but I will argue that that is what he says. In my view, this is exactly what he says when he says, "Did the baptism of John come from heaven, or was it of human origin?" In other words, by divine authority or by human authority. And these leaders, they were afraid. Afraid of what? These people, these lowly people, the prostitutes and tax collectors that had come to believe in Jesus, they were afraid that these lowly people would rise up and push them out of power. So, what did they do? They argued amongst themselves. They said, "If we say human authority, this crowd might turn against us because they believe John is a prophet." And because they valued their human authority, this authority they had collected for themselves so much, they answered, "We don't know." There we go. We got a little bit of a response today. All right. I'll take it. But had they given an answer to Jesus, I believe Jesus would have answered their question. He would have said, "I do these things because I have the divine authority to do them." And they would have probably right then and there killed him. But instead, they did not answer. So Jesus rebuked the chief priests and the elders and told the parable we heard today against them. So there was a reprieve for Jesus. It was a short reprieve. Ultimately, these chief priests and these elders, the ones with human authority, they regrouped. They figured out what their human authority was. They settled on a different approach, and it maybe took a little longer than they would have liked, but their human authority, it prevailed against Jesus. They used their money and their political connections. They used their human authority and their power. And they had Jesus killed. They had Jesus killed in the most humiliating way one could be killed. Everyone here today has clothes on, right? Would you be humiliated if we just stripped your clothes off and paraded you in front of everybody else? Of course you would. So they stripped him of his clothes. They mocked and beat him. They forced him to carry his own torture device. His own torture device to the top of a hill. Why to the top of a hill? So everyone could see him. And he was nailed to that torture device, the cross. And human authority finally, the ways of the world finally had prevailed against Jesus. The Jesus movement was stamped out right then and there. It was gone. It was done. It was finished. Right? Oh, it was just beginning. Interesting. So now I will flip over to our reading from Philippians today, which is a tremendous, tremendous piece of scripture. It's called, within it is something called the Christ hymn. The Christ hymn. It's from Philippians 2, verses 5 through 11. It's only part of that reading. And starting with verse 6, I will read the first half of it. Jesus Christ, though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited, But he emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, being born in human likeness. And being found in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. On a cross, the most humiliating, excruciating way to die. This is the condensed story of Jesus' birth, life, and death. But this, of course, is not how the Christ hymn ends. Because the story of Jesus Christ, as you all just told me, does not end at his death on the cross. It was only the beginning. And that is why 2,000 years later, I'm standing here as a white guy talking about a Palestinian Jew that lived halfway across the world from the first century. Because Jesus emptied himself. Because Jesus is God and chose to take the form of a slave. Because Jesus rejected the normal ways of human authority and power and money and political connections. The Christ hymn takes an immediate and unexpected turn. So I'll go back. He humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. And the hymn continues. Therefore, God also highly exalted Jesus and gave him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bend in heaven and on earth and under the earth. And every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. None of what Jesus did, none of it, was by human authority. How do I know this? Because human authority and power and money and political connections, they may work for a little bit. They may work to a small extent. But human authority, we know, has its limits. And we see it in our story, in our own story, the story of this Christianity. You see, the chief priests, the elders, the leaders of the time, they did everything they could. They did everything they could to stifle Jesus, to stamp him out. They killed him. They could do nothing else. They could do nothing more. They killed him. They enthroned him on a tree. They exalted him. In the same way, think of the irony. With their human authority, they were trying to end Jesus and his movement, and in doing so, they enthroned him. That is the irony that we find in this Christ hymn. And they gave him the name that is above every other name, Jesus Christ, Messiah. And at this point, you might be saying, so what? What does all this mean to me here today? Anyone wondering that right now? You can say yes. I think the better question is, what does this mean to us? What does this mean to us? Because the Christ hymn, well, when we set it in the entire context of the reading from Philippians today, it is about how we are called to live in community. To live in community with one another. Not by ourselves, but in community. So this place here, First Lutheran in Galleon, Ohio, is a sacred and liminal space. It is unlike other spaces that we inhabit in this world, isn't it? It exists in this in-between space. And that makes things really hard. because this place, it exists in the world, but it's not supposed to be of the world, is it? But it still exists in the world. We exist in the world. And that makes it really hard for us, all of us. So we try to make decisions for the church by discerning God's will for First Lutheran, but we do so by using human means. And when we introduce humans to anything, well, I have to say, I don't think I've ever said this word in a sermon. When we introduce humans into things, we just screw it up. We screw it up. We're awful. Sin creeps in. Mistakes and human judgment creeps in. Human authority creeps in. And discerning and decision making, well, they get really messy. Things get off balance, and sometimes decision makers err on the side of the human. Sometimes they exert their own will. And at other times, discernment is done well. And we feel confident in knowing that God's will prevailed and not our own. But there's a really big problem here. Really big problem. A lot of times, it's hard to tell the difference between our will and God's will. Isn't it? I may think I have discerned God's will, and you all may think that I have exerted my own human authority. Sometimes we ourselves cannot even tell. Now, have you ever struggled to answer this question? Is this my will, or is this God's will? And if you've struggled to answer this question, then I think you understand where I'm going with this. So, last Sunday, you voted to call me to be your next pastor. Thank you. I'm excited and humbled to accept the call. But sometimes I will fail you miserably. I will exert human authority when it is divine authority that is called for. I will fail you and I will mess up. But not just me. Your church council. There's seven of them. That's seven times the screw up. They will make mistakes and they will fail you. Not you, Marty. Only six times the screw ups, actually. They will fail you. They will exercise human authority when it is divine authority that's called for. And the Consolidation Task Force, right? I think that's on everyone's mind right now. Your task force representatives, the task force and its representatives has made mistakes. It will make mistakes. I am on that task force as a spiritual leader. I will make mistakes as that spiritual leader. I will fail. We will fail. We are human, and we will sometimes exercise human authority when we are called to exercise divine authority, and sometimes we will exercise divine authority, and we can't even tell the difference, and that's awful. And I don't say this to excuse mistakes. I say this to frame our dialogue that we have together. Ultimately, the question that we should be asking ourselves is, by whose authority do we do these things? By whose authority are these things done? So in this liminal space of not quite the world, but still of the world, your pastor, your council, the task force, our minds, are they set on human things or on divine things? That's what you all should be asking us. When we make decisions, are they set on divine things or human things? But when you ask that question, that question must also be reflected back like a mirror, like the law, right? It must be reflected back. And you hear that very same question being asked of yourself. By whose authority are we asking these questions? Are we asking these questions so that our will might be done or that God's will might be done? Is the question rooted in divine things or human things? This forces all of us to set aside our will and try to discern the divine, to overcome human authority. And it's so hard to do. So I asked this basic question about the consolidation. Whose will is it? Is it divine authority, human authority, our will, or God's will? Why are we disrupting what's going on here at First Lutheran anyway? This is hard, hard work. It's hard work. We aren't all that far into the process, and we can already see and feel how hard it is. It is taking a toll. It's taking a toll on individuals. It's taking a toll on this place, and it is hard. So why are we doing this? I reflected on that this week a little bit, and it was kind of buried in the bottom of the newsletter, so I'm going to say what my answer was. I think we're undertaking this consolidation effort to create a strengthened Lutheran parish in Eastern Crawford County that will allow us to serve, allow us to better witness to Jesus Christ. To witness to Jesus Christ and serve our neighbors in Christ, both now and for generations to come. We want to witness to Christ now. We want to witness to Christ in the future. We want to serve our neighbors now. We want to serve our neighbors in the future. That is why we are undertaking this effort. And this, I think, is God's preferred outcome, isn't it? And if this is why we're doing it, if we can be honest with ourselves and say this is why we're doing it, I think we are working towards God's will. But am I saying this by divine authority or human authority? That's where it gets really hard. And how we do this work, it matters. So what does it look like? How do we give ourselves up to divine authority? So, we hear in the Christ hymn, Jesus did it by giving up all claims to what the world says is important. We must give ourselves and our lives up to Jesus Christ. Oh, that's easy, Sean. Paul says this to the Philippians today before the Christ hymn. And he says it to us here at First Lutheran. Be of the same mind. And when you hear this, you're like, oh, I can do that. Be of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. Do nothing of from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility regard others as better than yourselves. Let each of you look not to your own interests, but to the interests of others. Let the same mind be in you that was in Jesus Christ. Simple, right? Everybody gonna leave here and go do that today? I don't know if that sounds hard to you, but it sounds really hard to me. This is law. This is law. We can't do law, can we? We cannot fulfill law, at least not on our own. The same God who in Jesus humbled himself, became a slave for us, rejected the ways of the world for us, and died for us. This same God is with each and every one of us as we go on our way, trying as best as we can to do God's will in this community at First Lutheran in this messy, messy world. But the really good news for us today, after the Christ hymn, Paul writes this. Paul writes this good news to the Philippians and to us. For it is God who is at work in you, enabling you both to will and to work for God's good pleasure. It is God who is at work in you. And it is God who is enabling you to work for God's good pleasure. Not our will. Not our will. God's will. We actually pray that every Sunday, don't we? Thy will be done. Not our ways, but God's. Not our work, but God's. Not our authority, God's authority. We can't. We can't do what Paul is asking here. But in God, God's will be done in and through us. For that, I say, thanks be to God. Amen.
Join me in professing what we believe using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty,
creator of heaven and earth.
I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord,
who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, he is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge.
Remembering the caring and generous works of God, we pray for the church, creation, and the needs of our neighbors.
We put our trust in you as we pray for the church. Give bishops, pastors, deacons, vicars, SAMs, lay leaders, council and committee members, and Constellation Task Force members the gift of wisdom and discernment. Remind us that it is God who is at work in all of us, that we are to seek God's will and not ours. Be with our church leaders in bold truth and faithful witness. Merciful God,
receive our prayer. Lead us in justice as we pray for those in government, the military, and other positions of authority, including our president, members of Congress, the Supreme Court, our governor, members of the Ohio State House, Crawford County officials, Galleon City Council members, and the mayor, school board members. Give them a humble and willing hearts, looking to the needs of others. We pray also for our enemies, both foreign and domestic. Guide us to a path that might lead to reconciliation. Merciful God,
receive our prayer. Lead us in your truth as we pray for creation. Empower us to look to the interest of others as we make choices that impact the environment. Summon us to be advocates for healthy waterways, habitats, and air. We continue to pray for those who have been impacted by natural disasters, including Canada and Maui wildfires, hurricanes, earthquakes in Morocco, and flooding throughout your creation, especially in Libya. Be with those who lost loved ones and those who will be forced to rebuild. Merciful God,
receive our prayer. Trusting your goodness, we pray for all caregivers. This is a tiring and many times thankless job. Please help them feel you working through them, that they are borne up by your strength. We pray for the sick and suffering, especially Evelyn, Caleb, Liam, Jim, Beth, Linda, Marcella, Karen, Sandy, Jamie, Deb, Frida, Bill, Linda, Ed, Wilma, and for those we name either aloud or in the silence of our hearts. Today we also lift up those dealing with flooding in New York City after it has had almost 8 inches of rain in a very short amount of time. Give them encouragement and consolidation in your presence. Merciful God,
receive our prayer. Teach us your paths as we pray for this congregation. You have a plan and will be for First, Peace, Trinity, St. Paul's, and St. John's Lutheran churches and their people. Be with us as we discern this will. Mend our differences, work in and through us, and unite us in your love as we labor together for the sake of the gospel. Merciful God,
receive our prayer. Remember us according to your steadfast love as we offer these and the prayers of our hearts, trusting in your compassion made known through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. And now may the peace of Christ be with you always. Please share a sign of God's peace with one another. Brings.
Let us pray. God of power, God of plenty, all things belong to you. We bring your gifts to the table that all might be fed. Form us in your body, O the beloved, Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
Lift them to the Lord.
It is right. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. And so, with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn.
Holy, holy, holy.
The night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." And again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses,
as we forgive
those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. You gather us together as one with your feast. Come to this feast. Come to this table where all are welcome.
Thank you.
Please stand as you're able to do so. And now may the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace. Amen. Amen.
Let us pray. Blessed be your name, O God, for we have feasted on your word. Christ Jesus, the joy and delight of our hearts, strengthened by this food, send us together to the world, to your banquet, where none are left out and all are satisfied. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
Amen.
You may be seated for a few announcements, or a lot of announcements. All right. Number one, if you have a helmet on, stand up and show everyone your helmet. All right. That is one of the things that is in the basement right now, the social hall, that my son couldn't live without. There are many things down there that I'm sure all of you cannot live without. Is set up. You are invited after the service today, or if you choose to stay for our text study or whatever we make it, you are invited to go after that to go check it out. It's basically by free will donation. Those donations will go to support our missions and ministries here at First Lutheran. So if you want to have first dibs, go check it out. Although you already missed out on the helmets. Along with that, this is the last week to drop off items. And we are in need of donations of individually wrapped baked goods. And also for people to work at said rummage sale, which is on this Friday from 9 to 5 and on Saturday from 9 to 3. So there's sign-up sheets out there by the door. So you got to walk right past them to leave. So when you leave, just sign up. All right. Great job on the CCSG donations. I see some giant boxes of diapers. When you're out shopping, if you think that maybe you could add some soap or some whatever to your cart, go ahead and bring that in here if that's something you feel you're able to do. Like I said, we have adult ed after the service today, coming up here real soon because I'm late. Spooktacular, we're waiting. We need some candy. It looks like we got a really big bag there already. Thank you so much for your donations to Lutheran Disaster Relief. As you can hear, the disasters don't stop. So thank you so much for that. We will be donating our noisy offering to Lutheran World Relief here in the month of October. Dick.
Along with the rummage sale, we do have a number of signs that need to be distributed throughout the community. So if you feel willing, please take a sign and put it out.
All right. Any other announcements that are needed for the rummage sale or in general? Are we having a work day at all this week to prep? Thursday, what time? 10 o'clock? That's our final prep for the rummage sale. Yep. Okay. So baked goods can be dropped off. No one likes stale baked goods. So Thursday or Friday morning. Anything else? Mike, you have a separate announcement.
Yes. Our community dinner is coming up in 2 weeks on Wednesday, October 11th. We need some vegetable soup, oatmeal cream pies, and fudge rounds. Here's the list. It'll be out there on the gathering table or whatever. So please look it over, and if you can help out with that, we'd greatly appreciate it. Thank you.
Your bulletin should have come with one of these fancy things in it today. I am going to be ordained in 2 weeks from yesterday. So Saturday, October 14th at 3 p.m. Now here comes the hard part of the announcement. My ordination is not happening here. It is happening at St. Paul in Upper Sandusky. Now, the reason for that is because without St. Paul, I can assure you I would not be here. They raised me up into the person that I needed to be in order to step into a role like this. It's kind of a transition from them to you. So even though I've been with you for 2 years, this kind of marks that transition and endpoint with me and St. Paul. I will be ordained there and still waiting for a final installation date. I will be installed here, and I will let you know when I know when that is. So thank you so much. It's extremely humbling to be called to ordain ministry. Thank you for calling me, and I look forward to serving here, even though I know I will fail you, as I said today. And with that, let's do a closing hymn and a noisy offering. Please stand as you're able.